Hour number three of Michelle and Junie. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome into Bridgestone Arena. We are live here. Going to preview the Preds and the Winnipeg Jets coming up at 1 p.m. today. We've got Max Herz, who's joining Junie and I right now in Bridgestone Arena. We're adding an extra hour on our show, and then Max will take over from the pregame, and he will have you covered right up until puck drop. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Max Herz here today. We got Nick Frazier also live from our game Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. If you want to watch us streaming, you can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is presented by Superbook Sports. And at 11:45, we are going to use Superbook Sports, and we are going to make our picks for the tournament today. We still have six SEC men's basketball teams in. Max Herz actually said that all the SEC teams would lose in the first round. Is that correct, Max?
Except for Alabama. I had to have them win one. Not looking great so far, but man, did the teams that lost look really bad. So
yeah, it is.
I got that part right.
It has been a very interesting tournament so far. Junie and I were saying that, like, so many teams, like a Furman, we watched that one together. FDU beating Purdue yesterday. So many smaller schools. Princeton. It's been pretty incredible to see it. But something else has been pretty incredible to see. Look at that transition right there. Is all the young guys on this Nashville Predators team step up. The team's sitting 4 points behind a playoff spot right now, but three games in hand on the Winnipeg Jets. What have you just enjoyed watching? I mean, you went on the road trip with them. You traveled all around the country, Max. You got to watch it firsthand with all these young guys take on such a responsibility on this team. Barry Trotz joined the road trip as well. What was it like just being with the team, being with the management on such a long road trip after all the changes made to this franchise earlier this year?
I think we got to step back and think how unlikely it is that today's game, which is the biggest game of the season so far by far.
Yeah.
We got to think about how unlikely it is that today's game means what it means. And if the Predators had beaten the Blackhawks Thursday, it would have meant even a little bit more.
Correct.
But it shows where this team is at right now. They can beat anybody. They can still lose to anybody. And we've seen that league-wide. That's not something that's unique to the Preds by any means. But the stage that this team is in right now, they've got absolutely nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. If they win today, this is the two biggest points for them all year. And the playoffs feel like the dream is really real. Like, it really could happen. And it's not totally over if they lose today by any means. You have three fewer games played than the Jets. You still get them twice. Yeah, the games at hand are great, but the most important thing is you get a crack at these guys twice in a row, and you get to do it on home ice for the final time this season tonight going up against them. So I think we're going to see what these young guys are made of today, because Thursday, I think they had a big letdown. They were good in the first period, probably should have scored three or four goals in the first period, didn't get any, ended up getting shut out till the final minute of the game, lost 2-1, couldn't come back, lost to a bad team, a team that's definitely worse than the Predators. But here we are today playing a team that on paper is better than the Predators. Two great goalies. Mm-hmm. One of the Jets' better players is a guy you just traded to them. You sold off at the trade deadline, and these guys bought. This is not a situation that on paper the Predators should be in, but their team has played well enough to win. And I think if they can play to their low-scoring recipe, defend well, you see Saros play well in goal, not give up too many odd man rushes, and as a change from their recent form, generate more in the offensive zone, generate more sustained offense, I think they're going to have a shot to run with the Jets today and beat them here. Well,
I definitely see this as a big game today, Max, because like you said, if they get the win today in regulation, they're going to be within 2 points, a really close striking distance. But if they lose, they could potentially be 6 points back. And when I'm looking at the Jets and their schedule coming up compared to the Preds, I mean, I'm seeing the Blues, I'm seeing the Coyotes, I'm seeing the Ducks, whereas the Preds are about to go on a road trip and take on the Rangers, who have been big buyers at the trade deadline, and they're going to play the Sabres. They're kind of fighting for a wild card spot. The Seattle Kraken, they've had a pretty good year, their second year as a franchise. So I see today as – they have got to get this win just to creep super close, because the schedules are kind of breaking off to where the Jets are going to have a few games that they should win, whereas the Preds are going to have a huge challenge trying to go up against some of these big-hitting teams that were building at the trade deadline in the East.
And this is also game 5 of 6 games in 9 days for the Preds, too. So you have those games at hand, which are great, but it also means that a team that's already riddled by injuries and just very shorthanded has had to play a lot of hockey in a short amount of time with a lot of travel. So the Predators find themselves in a situation where when you get the guys you're trying to chase down right in front of you at your rink, mm-hmm. regardless of who's ahead on your schedule, but it's doubled by what you just said, Junie, you got to get them. You got to get them today. And I think the Predators will play their absolute best today. I think they'll use the home ice advantage to their advantage. I think the crowd's going to be great today. I think they'll come out really hot. And they came out really hot on Thursday, too. They just didn't score. Mm-hmm. They should have scored in that first period, and they would have scored if they had cashed in. They could have scored 2, 3, 4 goals in that first period, and that would have been enough to win. And then from there, they were not threatening again until the final minutes of the game. So I think they need to be at their best today. We have not yet heard if anybody's coming back from injury. I would say it's probably unlikely. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they will get Philip Forsberg and Ryan McDonough back at some point, but those are important pieces they're missing, and they're going to need guys to step up. They're going to need Phil Tomasino to play well again. They're going to need Luke Evangelista to play well again. They're going to need Novak and Cody Glass to keep playing well, and all these guys have had their moments, and they've been really strong. But they're going to need to play without some of their bigger names, and guys are going to have to step up, especially to score goals.
Well, and especially the games that they have ahead of them, they're going to need guys coming back from injury, or you hope at least. I mean, Philip Forsberg, it's been over a month now. You mentioned Ryan Johansson, UC Parsonen. Those are all going to be pieces that the Preds hopefully will look to add back to their roster as they get in this next stretch of games. But we've got a caller right now, Adam in Portland. We're going to go to our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Adam, happy Saturday. How you doing this morning?
Hey, this is my thing. So, and I don't care what anybody's opinion is on this. This is my opinion. I've been so convinced by these young people coming in and playing well, I'm ready to moneyball the whole thing. Burn the whole thing down. Yossi, who's buying? Who wants an all-star? Like, Forsberg, you're unavailable, to hell with you. Like, get more young dudes, man. Like, they are studly. Like, Tommy Novak is a stud. It feels like we're living the hockey version of the Replacements. And I'm like, I don't have to know your name. I just know you're young, you're hungry. Like, you're going to be getting in fights at the net. Like, this is a scrappy team that I like watching. I don't even care if they don't make the playoffs. Like, how fun has it been the last 3 or 4 weeks knowing that these guys are all fighting for their lives and putting on a good show for us? Like, to hell with the guys that don't show up. I don't know if Forsberg could come back. I'm not a hockey player. He's way cooler than I am. But, damn, dude, come on. It's been a long time since you've been out and you got paid. So, like, come on. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm just saying I like the young guys that are in there right now.
Adam from Portland, thanks for your call. Feeling hot this morning, feeling really fiery about this young core Predators group. He discussed a lot of different things there. Don't necessarily agree with much of that. Adam, we love you. You call in all the time, but I think Philip Forsberg, Roman Yossi, I think they're here for good.
I don't think Tommy Novak being good means the Preds should trade Roman Yossi.
There you go.
I think
Robbie Stanley agrees with my take.
We love Adam from Portland, and he calls in all the time, and we can tell, we can feel that excitement of the young guys, but like Max said, Tommy Novak being good does not equal selling Roman Yossi.
I don't think any of the good things from the young forwards are happening if Roman Yossi is not on the team, in all seriousness.
Or if UC Saros is not on the team, or if some of these veteran
players. He didn't say trade UC Saros, did he?
He has before. He's called this.
Oh, God.
Before.
No.
So.
No.
We've already seen the Preds make substantial moves at the trade deadline. David Poile's retiring. These young guys have gotten a lot of opportunity in these last couple of weeks. But as you mentioned, Max, a lot of the production, they're having help from these veteran players, too. They're still playing a big role on this team. Coming up next, we're going to discuss how much this game means for the Preds today. What does the fan base feel like? How excited are you to see these young guys get an opportunity to try to get one step closer to a playoff spot? You're listening to Michelle and Junie live from Bridgestone Arena. Max Herz is on with us leading up to the Predators and the Jets coming up at 1 p.m. today. Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
accomplish what we needed to accomplish by getting all these draft picks. They're going to have 13 when the draft is here in June. So if they make it in, it's just kind of like a bonus.
Sure, and definitely a bonus for ownership because they'll have at least two extra dates of playoff revenue, which is always a good thing. I mean, don't forget about, like, the bottom line of all of this is the bottom line. I mean, you know, there's a reason why teams orchestrate their schedules around the trade deadline in the sense that a lot of the action happens closer to the deadline than it, say, happens in January. And the reason is because they don't want to signal to their fan base that they're done. You know, they want people to come to games. They want people to spend money on stuff. So there's a marketing aspect to all of this. And you know, when you see teams that are quote-unquote happy to be there in the playoffs, yeah, I mean, it's going to benefit the young players on the roster. It's going to create a little bit of excitement if they can get a win or two off a higher seed. But ultimately, it's trying to get 2 to 3 extra home dates of, you know, playoff revenue, and that's going to help their bottom line going forward.
That was Greg Wasinski earlier this week on Chase and Michelle discussing the Nashville Predators and discussing all the moves they have made, this young roster, as they're sitting just 4 points behind out of a playoff spot right now. They've got the Winnipeg Jets today in Bridgestone Arena. Welcome back into Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle. We got Max Herz on with us as well for the next 45 minutes, and then he will take over and have pregame up until puck drop at 1 p.m. today. A little matinee hockey, guys. I love an afternoon hockey game, and especially, Max, as you mentioned, with so much on the line today and how important that this game is, the biggest game of the season, having a day game in Nashville, home ice advantage, and, you know, especially after on Thursday playing the Blackhawks, losing to the Blackhawks, which really hurt them because they could have been even closer in today's game. But you look at today and hopefully these Preds, you know, they got some sleep and some rest after the long road trip that you guys were on. But looking at today's matchup against Winnipeg, it's going to be Nino Niederreiter's revenge tour coming back into Bridgestone just a couple of weeks after he got traded. Almost 14, 15 days he's been in Winnipeg, already coming back here to Nashville. But when you look at this team today, what young guy do you think are you going to need to step up big time when it comes to this game today, Max?
I'd say a couple of guys. I think they're going to need some offense from the wings. I think Cody Glass and Tommy Novak have proven their worth as the top two centers on the team right now with Ryan Johansson out. And I think we know what those guys are going to give us every game. And I think especially with Novak, we've seen his game mature over this stretch over the last 3 weeks where he has become an all zones player. I think Cody Glass had reached that point right around New Year's, maybe a little bit after New Year's. So we know those guys are going to generate chances. We know they're going to be defensively responsible. They're going to play their defensive role. And for the most part, both of them have been much better on faceoffs as well. I think the guys we need to see even more from, obviously Matt Duchene as the top winger and the best scorer on the team with Philip Forsberg out.
Yep.
But also, we've had some really good games from Phil Tomasino and Luke Evangelista as top six wingers. And I think Tomasino has had some good chances. He needs to start burying all the chances he gets. And I think for Evangelista, he's been really good in build-up. He's been good with first passes out of the D-zone. I want to see him involved more in the offensive zone like he was in his first handful of NHL games. And it's tough to do against some of these top teams as he goes through the NHL for the first time, playing in his ninth NHL game today. And these Jets are good. It'll be the first time he's faced the Jets. They're a big team, physical team. Really, really good in their defensive zone under head coach Rick Bonus, who's one of the winningest coaches in NHL history. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how visible Evangelista is in a game like this, because, you know, if he's getting shut down and he's getting bumped off the net, he's going to fight back. So I think Evangelista can be in the mix in a lot of ways today. It doesn't necessarily have to be scoring goals, but I want to see him play that physical role. Preds also just announced that Igor Afanasyev has come up after going down to Milwaukee for a couple of days. I would love to see Igor get involved in every way that Evangelista can be too in this game. He's been so fun to watch. He doesn't back down physically. He's big. He takes really, really good quick shots. I would love to see him pot one today. That would be awesome. But from the forward perspective, I think it's those three guys who are the difference makers. Tomasino, Evangelista, and presuming he's playing after being called up, Afanasyev.
So I wanted to highlight, and I want to get your opinion on this, Max. I tweeted it out after his goal against the Detroit Red Wings earlier this year that I felt like the story of the Preds, like the biggest name that has really stuck out to me has been Tommy Novak. And with Tommy Novak's production this year, it kind of reminds me a little bit of what Tanner Janot did last year and how he was a really surprising goal scorer and a consistent offensive player. Do you see this as kind of like an anomaly for a guy like Tommy Novak and what he's providing to this team? Or do you think this is something sustainable that he can kind of carry over into years to come?
I think it's still yet to be seen, for sure. And I think that question will determine a lot of what the Predators' offense looks like for the next 4 or 5 years. And Novak's only locked up through next season contract-wise, but I think the fact that he is a homegrown player means that the Predators really want him to turn out. And the best part about this season for Novak, we have seen him stick to his game and his game work in the NHL. He was up for the first half of last season. He was good offensively, playing mostly in a fourth line role, got second unit power play time, was involved in the offense, but wasn't shooting a ton. He was making his good distributor plays, but he wasn't as involved as he's been this
year. There wasn't a lot of room for him last year, too.
Yeah.
You know, like they've, with all the moves, too, you know, I look at these young players, too, and just mentioning him coming up last year, but the opportunity is there now, and they've been rising to the occasion. So even when some guys have had chances to be on a fourth line or something like that, but I think one of the biggest differences I've noticed is that now they are actually having the opportunity to play starting minutes and play on a first or a second line for the Preds, and they've been able to rise to the occasion.
And Novak needs that. He's someone who needs that because he needs to play with the best players on the team. Because his best is when he's surrounded by the best. And we've seen it this year with his playmaking ability and just his ability to generate open ice, which is something the Predators have struggled with throughout the season and why their goal totals are down from last year. Mm-hmm. But when Novak has the puck, the game slows down, space gets created in the offensive zone, and he just creates out of nowhere. And we've seen it now, too, where he's popped open, like the goal he scored on Tuesday that Cal Foote and Kiefer Sherwood set him up for. He popped open, chance out of nowhere, deflection goal, something that the Preds need more of this year, too. So he's filled so many voids for them, and I think it's just because he's played his game and found a way to make it work. And as long as he's had the room to do it, and I think the best part is, like I said, he's created that room himself, his game does work at the NHL level, and he's proven that this year.
So, you know, you traveled with the Preds, Max, after the trade deadline, and you were there when a lot of these moves were being made and players were surprised at moving on from, you know, certain guys like Matias and Nino and Tanner Janot, and you were with the team during all of these crazy moves and David Poile announcing he's going to retire and handing the torch to Barry Trotz. But how much do you think, just from John Hines' perspective, it has helped him that even after the trade deadline and having no expectations to make the playoffs, that this young team has been able to fight, and the veteran players have been a huge role as well, like Roman Josi and Saros and Duchesne. But how much do you think it helps his job security with this team being more successful, I think, than the outside realized, and Barry just being able to be fully immersed in around the team up until he takes over as GM in the summer?
Yeah, I think this all happened at the correct time and in the correct sequence.
Yeah.
And the organization deserves a lot of credit for doing this at the right time and the right way, and not necessarily in the way that other NHL teams do it. They kept it in the family, they made it clear what they were going to do, and they didn't hold anything back in terms of, hey, David Poile's still making the trades, but Barry Trotz is advising. Hey, we're going to sell, but we're putting ourselves in a position with what we get back and what we think we have in terms of young players already at the NHL level and other guys who are close, we can go in a lot of different directions here. And I think the sequence and the order in which that all happened gave everyone so much confidence.
Yes.
Not only that this team can continue to play well for the rest of the year, because it would be okay if they didn't.
Yeah,
it wouldn't,
exactly.
It wouldn't change a ton if they didn't, because all the options would still be open. for next season in terms of using the assets you have to either go totally young through the draft and let the scouting department build the organization back up, which is the plan no matter what, but also they could trade draft picks. They could pick up NHL-ready players. There are a lot of ways they could go after different guys. They could go after free agents because of all the cap space they cleared with the players they traded. I mean, trading someone like Mikhail Granlund, that was a contract that, as good as he was for the team over his time here, that was a valuable contract to get rid of and free up cap space.
Shout out Pittsburgh.
They have a lot of ways to take it. So they're just in a really good spot right now. Barry Trotz coming in too, like you said, players are playing for jobs, coaches are coaching for jobs, and everyone has done their job really well in what would otherwise be a very tough circumstance. So I think it reflects well on everybody.
Max brought up a really interesting point there about how the Nashville Predators went about making all of these moves and turning the page in their organization. I want to hit on that coming up next on Michelle and Junie. Preds tip off at 1 p.m. today. We've also got some college basketball on. We're going to be making our picks at 11:45. Coming up next on Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, the game live this morning from Bridgestone Arena. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Max Herz has been joining us. We got Robbie Stanley in the wings watching watching some college basketball, which we know that he loves so much. Got a full slate of games today and also a game that is around the corner from us right now. Michigan and Vanderbilt in the NIT second round. It is tied 22-22, about 8 minutes left in the first half. So I'm going to keep an eye on that one as well. Max's alma mater. Go Vandy. Go Doors, baby.
You said it.
Max has literally no thoughts at all. Going back to the Nashville Predators, and a point that you hit on, Max, about the way this team has made the transition into where they are now. And I look at other NHL franchises.
Can I say something else real quick?
What?
Sorry. There is no better moment than when the gates open for an afternoon game here at Bridgestone Arena, and there are kids running across the arena with signs to get the best spot for warmups. That is the best thing ever. You said you love afternoon games.
I do.
That's why. The arena is just filled with kids who love the Preds more than anything. And I miss when that was me running to get the best spot in warmups an hour and a half in advance.
Little Max Herz.
Take every kid who loves hockey to a game and take them down to watch warmups and just let them run around. Let them do a whole lap around the arena.
Parents, take notes. Let your children run all around the arena, and they can grow up to be just like Max Herz.
Says Junie Riddle, local father of one.
Yes.
He can't walk yet, though, so he'd be crawling.
Crawl around the arena.
I'll run with him.
No, I agree, though. It just afternoon games have such a positive and lighthearted vibe. You know what I mean?
Like, and there's just 10,000 babies on the scoreboard all the time.
My favorite is the Simba camera. And you see people lifting their toddlers who are still, like, kind of heavy, and they're, like, shaking, trying to get
the Simba cam. There was a Simba cam somewhere. We were on the road, and Hal Gill tried to Simba me in the broadcast booth, and I resisted.
You shouldn't have.
There was no warning.
Let it happen.
Yeah, he wanted to do it. We didn't quite get to the full Simba, but maybe in the future.
The Simba cam's always the best when you see the single guy hold up the big thing of beer. That's always my favorite form of the Simba cam.
His one true love, Bud Light. So keep an eye out for the Simba cam today. If you are in Bridgestone Arena, you might see the one and only Max Herz on it. But back to the Nashville Predators, to the serious point that I was making.
My point was serious, too.
It was serious. No, I understand. But, you know, looking at the way this transition has happened and looking at franchises around the country, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, a lot of times when a general manager either decides to retire, gets fired, however it may be, a lot of the times it's really negative. And there's a negative connotation to the person stepping down, people yelling for his job, whether it's retiring. And when the new person comes in, it's, okay, well, you know, great job, Max, but I want my dudes with me. And I want it to become my team. I want to do something different. But I think that the way that the Nashville Predators are doing it and staying within the Predators family, you can say, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how Barry Trotz is going to be at his, as a GM. He's never been one before. But the guy knows hockey, and a lot of these moves that we've seen made lately, we know that his voice has been heard, and his voice has been in the room, and he's been a part of a lot of these changes that have been made. But I look at this as just really positive, because the fan base started to get really frustrated with where the organization was going, with the play, with everything. And then by David Poile, you know, deciding to make these moves and announcing he was retiring, and just the way everything came about, I just think it was done right. I think it was done right because it wasn't this, okay, yep, change of leadership, you're fired, everyone out, scratch it. Like, I don't know. And then you're, like, closer with a lot of people in the Preds organization, but it just looked like, from the outside looking in, there wasn't this, like, drag and negative energy surrounding the team, and it felt lighter. And even watching the play on the ice felt lighter. The guys felt loose. Like you said, there were no expectations, but they've still gotten to where they are right now.
Yeah, I think from the trade perspective, all the trades could have happened exactly the same. If you don't know the succession plan at general manager publicly, I still don't think it gets viewed as 100% positively as it did.
I agree.
And I think that's the case both locally and league-wide. Because if you make those moves and you don't know what the long-term outlook is at GM, whether it's going to be David Poile, whether it's going to be someone else, whether there's going to be a total overhaul of the entire organization, you don't know. And I think the fact that we knew even further accentuated how good all those trades were for the team. And I think, as you said, it affected the play on the ice positively, that the team knew where everything was heading to. And the way Barry Trotz has spoken, he spoke at the press conference where David Poile announced his retirement. Barry Trotz was announced as his successor, taking over officially as the full GM this summer.
July 1.
Sounds like the entire organizational structure is going to stay in place the same as it's been. Trotz heavily credited all three assistant GMs for their work and their roles. He credited the scouting staff. He credited the development staff. The only thing that's going to change is who the general manager is who's making those final decisions. And Michelle, you were standing next to me in the interview area after that press conference. I could not believe it took so long to ask for anyone to ask, and I ended up having to ask it, even though I'd only slept 5 hours the night before coming back from Arizona with the team.
Yeah, you're fine. You're young.
I couldn't believe anybody else asked it, because the one question I wanted to hear from Barry Trotz, what was your involvement in the trade deadline trades? And at that point, the Niederreiter and Janot trades had happened. The Matthias Ekholm trade happened the next day. The Mikhail Granlund trade happened the day after that. And he said, yes, he was involved. My voice is one of the voices in the room. David gets all the credit and makes the final decision on the trade because he's still the GM. But yes, I was definitely involved. And that's all I needed to hear, because that explains what the entire organization is doing with Barry Trotz in the mix. He's involved. He's not the full-on GM. He's not going to be making the final decisions at the draft. But it's not like David Poile makes the final draft decisions either. That's made by Jeff Kelty, who runs the scouting staff, and all the area scouts, and the national scouts, and the amateur scouts. So it's all a totally shared effort right now. And I think the fact that that has been plain and obvious, whereas in some situations, especially if it were an outside person coming in who's never worked in this org before, I think there would have been teams that in a transition like this, taking over for a longtime person, they would have been less upfront about it. And the fact that it was all out in the open and they haven't been shy about the fact that Barry Trotz is already helping with decision making, that made all of this so much better and so much clearer.
I agree with you 1,000%, Max. I think it's a testament to a good organization when you can make a transition like that. When I judge an organization, whether it's the NHL, NFL, NBA, it doesn't matter. If you are keeping the same group of people, whether it's the front office, whether it's the players, whether it's the coach, and you're not firing people left and right when things go bad, it just kind of it highlights what a good organization is. And I feel like you said, they handled it perfectly. The transition has been great. David and Barry are working together hand in hand to try and turn this ship around. And I think it's translating, and it has a trickle-down effect all the way down to the players, because even though they got rid of a guy like Mikhail Granlund, a Tanner Janot, a Matthias Ekholm has been here for years in their run to the Stanley Cup, it really shows that these guys, these younger guys that are getting this opportunity, are stepping up to the plate because of the culture and because of the vibe around the entire organization is hey, this is what we're going to do. Here's the plan. And everybody has kind of jumped in and hopped on board.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the young players, especially the guys who aren't prospects, guys like Kiefer Sherwood, who is getting a chance to play in a top six role, guys like Rasmus Asplund, who was just picked up in a trade, someone like Cal Foote, who was just picked up in a trade, Dante Fabro, who rumoredly was a candidate to be traded away but then signs a one-year extension to stay. These are guys who are getting a look on a team that they think is going to stay relevant, and they were not guaranteed that look. They were not guaranteed a chance to stay here, and the way the trade deadline went, they got the chance to stay. They got a chance to fill roles that, for whatever reason, for all those guys was unexpected in some way, shape, or form. And they get this month-long audition, either for someone like Fabro in a bigger role than he's had, getting to play again on the top pair with Josi after mostly being on the third D pair all season. For someone like Sherwood, someone who we know can score 30, 40 goals a year in the AHL, he wants his NHL shot. He got it at the beginning of the season, didn't play up to his standards. The last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks, I think he's been awesome. He's played his role. He's done everything you could possibly ask him to do. He's not going to be a 30-goal scorer in the NHL like he is in the AHL, but he's played his role. He's been physical. He's used his speed. He's been a possession guy, and he's played well with his line mates. And those guys know this may be the only look I get, either in the NHL period or in a big-minute role in the NHL. So they're auditioning right now, and I think even younger guys, like the guys who are true prospects, like Evangelista, Tomasino, and now Afanasyev, these might be the biggest looks they get too. Because when Philip Forsberg or Juuso Parsonen comes back, somebody's going to have to come out of the lineup. And as we saw with Phil Tomasino this year, just because you spend time in the NHL in a season does not mean you're guaranteed to make the team out of camp the next season and be in the opening night lineup next year. So all of this stuff with the Preds just made every shift and every game and every look that these guys are getting that much more of a meaningful audition. And I think that's why the team has played as well as they have after the deadline.
And another note to mention on the Preds front, yesterday Willie Donick tweeted this out. Joachim Kimmel, did I say it correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
He has been called to Milwaukee. So that was the Preds' first-round draft pick last year. They didn't even know they would be able to get him at their position in the draft. I think they – did they get him at 18?
17, 18, yeah. I believe. But he was supposed to be, like, a top five perennial
and,
top 10.
And he played really well for Finland in the World Juniors.
Yes.
Which is, in my opinion, for someone his age, 19 years old, playing in the European leagues, I think – how you do in that brief tournament with the eyes of the hockey world on you in Canada in crazy crowds in a short window, I think that's, of all he did since the Preds drafted him, I think that's the most important evaluation window you have for a guy like that.
So another young prospect up in Milwaukee for the Nashville Predators. Gates are open here in Bridgestone Arena. Lots of people walking around, a lot of kids running around excited for the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators at 1 p.m. We'll have one final segment on Michelle and Junie with Max Herz, and then he'll take the reins for the pregame show starting at noon today. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Final segment of the day on Michelle and Junie. Welcome in, Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Max Herz with us as we round out our show today. We are live from Bridgestone Arena. Max will have the pregame show starting at noon today. Puck drop at 1 p.m. for the Nashville Predators and the Winnipeg Jets. The Nino Niederreiter Revenge Tour coming up earlier, or coming up this afternoon.
I can just picture Nino downstairs in the locker room plotting his revenge. The nicest Swiss man in the world. Just stewing mad that the Jets traded a second-round pick for him.
Doing one-armed push-ups. Getting ready for it. Something to
he could to. He could do that, but I can't picture him doing it without a smile on his face.
There you go. Yeah, he always was a smiley guy. Another quick note on the Preds front. The Preds announced that Igor Afanasyev has been recalled from Milwaukee, so that's something to note, too. In today's game, Preds are sitting 4 points out of a playoff spot, three games on hand right now. Max, you know, we've discussed this matchup. We've discussed how, you know, if the Preds got that win against the Blackhawks earlier this week, then they would have been sitting in a much better position, but they're not. And they're still 4 points behind, and how important today's game is. Something that I talked about when you came on Chase and Michelle a couple weeks ago was, you know, the addition of Tyson Barrie and what he's been able to do for this Preds power play. I look at, you know, the Winnipeg Jets power play. Theirs is about 17th in the league. The Preds have the 26th power play in the league. How important is it going to be for them to capitalize off of the power play today?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say as long as this game has a legitimate amount of special teams, I mean, it could be one of those games where both teams have one or two power plays, and I'm totally fine with that, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If this is a game where power plays mean something, I think you're right. I think the Preds may need a power play goal to win or compete in a game like this one against a team that has more firepower than them, especially if Pierre-Luc Dubois does come back from injury for the Jets today, which it sounds like he probably will. Although we don't know that for sure, sounds like he probably will. So I think it's safe to say the Preds need a power play goal, and I've loved everything that Tyson Barrie has brought to the team. It's just a matter of time and whether or not it makes sense down the stretch of this season with under a month left, whether or not they feel like it's the right move to put Tyson Barrie with Roman Josi mm-hmm. on the top power play unit. I think it's something that long-term they're going to find a way to do. It's tough in season. Even though Tyson Barrie has a lot of familiarity with Dan Lambert, who coaches the Preds power play and coached Tyson Barrie and Jr. for the Kelowna Rockets, but it was over a decade ago, so take that for what you will. But it's tough to make adjustments in season, and the Preds power play was so barren earlier in the year that they've already had to make so many changes, and it's led them to some kind of places that you wouldn't expect. And a lot of that is because of the absences and some of the tradeaways, but Cody Glass is the net front guy, has worked well. Luke Evangelista, in a small sample, has been good in the bumper in the middle. So I don't know how much of that you want to mess with, because especially once Philip Forsberg comes back, if you're putting Tyson Barrie and two defensemen on that top unit, you're probably taking one of those guys off. And I think the way the power play structure works for the Preds, I don't think they'd want to do that at present time. But I feel strongly that the Preds' power play long-term has Tyson Barrie and Roman Josi together on the top unit.
So one thing I've noticed with this Nashville Predators team, especially on 5-on-5 play offensively, is they're getting a lot of looks. And I think the Chicago Blackhawks game this past Thursday really highlighted this, that this has been a problem all season long. They're getting a lot of good looks, a lot of good offensive scoring opportunities. They're just not closing the deal. Do you see that as more of like a luck of the draw kind of thing, or is it more of like players not being in the right position?
I think it's bad shooting luck. And I think some of that is shot quality also, and guys not being able to put the puck where they want to put it. And I think that's been a problem for the Preds this year, and why their shooting percentages, both as a team and on an individual basis, have all been down from last season. But I think also, and Roman Josi spoke about this after the game, too many one-and-dones. They've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks, even in games they've won. Too many one-and-dones, not enough sustained ozone time, and while they're getting good chances off transition and off the rush, they're not turning that into full cycles. So I think we saw that a lot Thursday, where Phil Tomasino had a breakaway, didn't score, rebound saved, can't win the faceoff after that, can't keep the puck in the zone. Chances where the Preds had off the rush, couldn't get a shot off on a two-on-one, couldn't connect on a pass. Even when making a pass was the right play, couldn't connect on it. So I think they need to score off their rush chances if that's going to be where most of their chances come from, which has been the case.
Max will have pregame show starting at noon today. Robbie Stanley will join him for the first segment of the show. How long is Robbie on? Full show, first segment? What are we doing?
What do you think, Robbie? I think 10 minutes. Robbie's a busy man.
Max is clipping the mic after 10 minutes. Okay, Maxers. No, I'm kidding. We've got a little college basketball action happening right now. We're going to make some picks. We're going to do a little college basketball picks. Max specifically said he only wanted to talk Preds with us, but of course I'm throwing in college basketball because it's one of the best
things
of the
year. No, that's fine. As long as we don't talk about the Titans offensive line. Oh, my God. They'll be okay.
Max needs to plug
his ears. It's March.
You're telling me you don't care about Aaron Brewer getting tendered, a second-round tender, Max?
The morning of the Titans' first game, you can tell me who's playing, and that's and catch me up then.
And Max will be set for it. He's not into all of this back and forth rumor season, but one of the biggest games today, Duke, Tennessee, got a lot of local way in that game. Joe Rexroad will be covering that game. A lot of people favoring Duke. Money's coming in on Duke. Duke is a three-point favorite in this game. I always love a 4-5 seed matchup. I think they're one of my favorite rounds. I am in the minority in this. I am picking Tennessee plus three. I think Tennessee wins outright today, which I know a lot of people are calling me crazy. Duke is the hot team right now. A lot of people picking Duke to win. But the ACC in basketball is not good. And, yeah, Duke won the ACC. They've been hot. They haven't lost a game, and they have won 10 games in a row. But I'm taking Tennessee. I'm taking them plus a three today, and I'm picking 150 on the money line.
Duke did win the ACC, but they won it easily. They're the hotter team, and I haven't seen Tennessee close against a very competitive team. So give me the Blue Devils on the money. I think with some foul shots at the end, it's going to take them over that 3 points. Give me Duke today to go to the Sweet 16.
I picked Duke to go to the Final Four just on the basis of sudden likability alone. I think going from Coach K to John Shire, Duke has become really likable. So
I agree.
I will go with them. Totally independent of Tennessee.
It's so funny because for a program that has been so successful and people want to hate the Blue Bloods and Coach K has won so many titles, but then John Shire takes over and it's like, oh, he's a cool guy. We like him. Like, they're cool. So that will be at 1:40 today in about an hour and a half. Another game, Arkansas, Kansas. Bill Self, it has been noted that Bill Self will not be coaching Kansas today. Kansas is a 4-point favorite over Arkansas. I think Kansas wins by about three today, but I think Arkansas makes it a game. So I'm taking Arkansas plus the four, but I think Kansas ultimately wins.
Arkansas is...
You are very low on Arkansas.
I'm not low. I think they're a very physical team. I think they're one of those teams that gets at it a lot in the first half, but then towards the end of the game, they just tailor off. So give me Kansas, the much more talented team. I think they're a Final Four team. I think Arkansas was one of those teams that they started off the year really well, and just, I don't know, ever since 2023 kicked off, they just haven't been that really hot team that we saw that was kind of in the leaderboard of the SEC in the beginning of the year. So give me Kansas. They're going to cover today.
I'll take the Hogs. I'll hop on the Must Bus for you.
I love it.
Who picks Suey?
There you go. There you go. Eric Musselman, you can always count on him for being crazy on the sidelines. A little entertainment for you all. Okay, this game I am so excited for. Auburn-Houston. Houston is the one seed. Auburn is the nine. Houston is a 5.5-point favorite. I think Auburn wins this game outright. They barely snuck into the tournament. I've seen Bruce Pearl coach in March. I don't love him because he hurt my heart one time when they beat the Wildcats. But I'm taking Auburn plus the 5.5. I also think they win today, Max.
I'll take Houston.
Houston?
I'm going to go Houston. I think they struggled against Northern Kentucky. And
you think
I think
they cover,
bounce back.
Cover the 5.5?
Yes, I do.
Cover the 5.5. Okay. Northwestern UCLA. I've actually watched Northwestern quite a bit, so we're going to pick this really quick. They are a 7.5-point underdog against UCLA. UCLA minus 7.5 or Northwestern?
I had UCLA winning it all in my bracket, which is not going well, but I'll stick with them.
Okay, UCLA?
I think Northwestern will cover, but give me UCLA money line.
Give me Northwestern money line and plus the 7.5. Everyone, enjoy some college basketball today. You got San Diego State 30, Furman 18 right now. Max is coming up next with the Preds pregame show. Preds and the Jets tip off at 1 p.m. today. You're listening to Michelle and Junie. Have a great Saturday, Nashville. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.